All is well. Because God entered our world as a child, born in a manger, all is well. We all know that, all is well. It'd make a nice plaque on the wall, a nice greeting to throw around, kind of like prayer changes things. God is good, in all things give thanks, but all is well. Do we always see it that way? When it's Christmas time, we act like we believe it, but all too often, as far as we can see, nothing is well. I guess it depends on where you're standing and how good the view is from there. That's how it was for Ruth Preston and her little daughter, Jenny. It was July. No snow, no tinsel. Nothing but the real world, no matter where you looked. There'd been a divorce about 2 years ago, so Ruth and Jenny's last Christmas was a flop. And Ruth still had no desire to think about Christmas or anything connected with it, except for that little phrase, all is well. It popped up somewhere at some Christmas time. For some reason, it stuck long after its origin was forgotten. She held on to it. She needed something to keep their spirits up, to keep their hopes alive.
Hey, Mom, didn't you buy any Cheerios?
Well, no. But hey, look at it this way. We saved money. And I didn't have to carry as much stuff home. I didn't have to carry Cheerios, or popcorn, or ice cream, or dish soap, or even paper towels. Feel how light this bag is.
Yeah, nice and light and easy to carry.
You bet. So all is well, right?
All is well.
I think I heard you say something.
All is well.
That's the stuff. But hey, guess what? I'm coming up on 1 year at the cannery, and then I get a raise.
What does that mean?
It means things are going to be better.
You're going to head back to nursing school?
Well, no. I got to keep working to pay the bills. You know, bring home the bacon, keep this ship afloat. Who needs that dumb old nursing school anyway?
I could work.
Thanks, partner, but you're too little.
I could sell stuff.
Honey, we have already sold everything that isn't nailed down in this place.
But, Mom, we've got to have faith, remember? We've got to prove we can make it on our own.
You're right. That's what I always say, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So, can I?
Oh, I don't know. Did we get any mail today?
I placed it on your dresser.
Thanks.
Opening the mail was becoming a ritual, a daily expectation that hope might arrive in an envelope. A child support check hadn't come for over a year, but there was always a first time, but it wouldn't be today.
What is it, Mom?
It's the electric bill. Are you still leaving the light on in the bathroom?
Oops, sorry.
Jenny, you have got to shut the lights off when you leave the room.
I forget every time, sorry. What's that one?
This is a letter from our landlord.
Is he mad?
Well, he's... It's gonna be okay. We're gonna be okay.
So, all is well?
All is well.
So can I, please?
Can you what?
She could. Early on Saturday, the neighbors all heard the rumble and squeak of Jenny's wagon on the front walk. It was followed by her timid knocking at the door.
Jenny Preston from down the street. I'm buying and selling things today. You want to take a look?
Abby Duvall, the plumber's wife, was still in her bathrobe and hadn't had her coffee, and now the light of day was making her squint.
You're selling junk?
It's good junk. Take a look at this.
A peanut can?
You can put stuff in it, and the bottom is so shiny, you can see yourself in it.
I don't think I need any more empty hands around my house.
Okay, how about an egg carton? Put in jewelry, buttons, and small things.
Nah.
Jenny opened a small box full of mismatched, tangled, old and new, from here and there sparkly surprises.
How about some Christmas ornaments?
In July?
You can buy them now and sell, and use them later.
Mrs. Duvall did take a moment to paw through the box, but finally shook her curled head.
I don't need to be thinking about Christmas. I got enough problems.
But don't you like Christmas?
Yeah, some need it, some don't. But say, you're selling stuff, buying stuff too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait here, just a minute.
Mrs. Duvall was only gone a moment, and when she came back, she had what looked like a wooden candlestick or a bent rolling pin, or maybe it was a spindle leg or a table leg, or...
I got this at a white elephant party. I'll take a buck for it.
Jenny bit her lip.
Well, I haven't actually sold anything yet. How about after I sell something, I can come back and pay for it?
It's okay, honey. Tell you what. Why don't you take it and see if you can get a buck for it?
Wow, thanks.
Good luck.
The rest of the morning didn't go much better. Junk seemed to be something everybody had plenty of and saw no need to buy.
Jesus, you've just got to help me sell something. I don't want Mom to be sad.
Oh, here came Mr. Patrick in his old red truck. Jenny waved hello because Mr. Patrick always waved back.
Hi there, Jenny.
This time he pulled to a stop and rolled down his window.
Hi there, Jenny.
Oh, hi, Mr. Patrick.
What you got in the wagon?
I'm buying and selling things today. You want to take a look?
Mr. Patrick parked his truck against a curb and got out. He was dirty. He'd been digging ditches for the county again.
Okay. I've got a peanut can for putting stuff in, and the bottom is so shiny you can see yourself in it. I've got an egg carton for putting jewelry, buttons, and small things in it. And I've got a weird thing that's fun to look at, and guess what it is?
Say, what's that thing there?
Oh! Mom used to open cans with it.
But it's broken.
Yeah, so now you can scratch your back with it. Like this. See?
That's very clever. Say, what's in the box?
Oh, that's just Christmas ornaments. Looks like it's the wrong type of year. Nobody wants to buy them.
Well, let me see it.
Jenny opened the box, and the sunlight bounced out in silver and gold sparkles. Mr. Patrick didn't paw through the box like the other neighbors did. He picked up one piece and then another. A little toy soldier, a teddy bear, a silver star. But then he must have seen something that touched his heart. Jenny could see it in his face.
How much for the whole box?
Jenny felt her heart leap.
The whole box?
I'll give you $10.
Jenny couldn't even talk. Her eyes and mouth were stuck wide open. Mr. Patrick pulled out the crinkle bill and put it in Jenny's hand, closing her little fingers over it.
Merry Christmas.
$10. Wait till I show Mom.
Of course, $10 can seem like a fortune to a child, but to an adult with overdue bills, empty cupboards, legal expenses, and a possible eviction, Ruth tried to give her best performance.
Oh, Jenny, that's just wonderful.
But her eyes were red and her voice was weak, and Jenny knew she'd been crying.
What's wrong, Mom?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong. We're doing great. And you're being so helpful. $10. Wow.
So, all is well?
You bet. All is well.
But Jenny couldn't feel good. She could only stare at her mother as pain dripped into her soul like hot wax.
Mom, tell me how come.
How come what?
How come all is well?
Ruth sighed and rested her elbows on the table.
Well, Jenny, it just is. We just believe that. We have to believe that.
But you used to tell me how come every Christmas, remember?
Well, of course Ruth remembered. It was because... Well, it was because... Well, she'd had so much on her mind lately. It was a long time ago. It's just like a kid to remember something you don't. She did not remember. She just sat there and couldn't say a word. She could feel the drain, the blood drain from her face. Jenny must have seen it. She reached out and touched her mother's hand.
Mom, I could show you.
But then Jenny's eyes filled with horror. Some thought, some memory, something occurred to her.
Uh-oh.
She turned and bolted out the door.
Jenny! Jenny, where are you going?
Oh, hey, Mom, stay right there. I'll be right back.
But Jenny!
Too late. Jenny was gone. Not looking back, Ruth's heart sank even lower.
Oh, child, please don't lose hope.
Jenny looked in the storage shed out back, under the stairs, in the boxes left over from the yard sale. She even pawed through the trash, hoping to find what she was looking for. But by now, she had a horrifying hunch where it went. She grabbed her wagon and pulled it down the street.
Patrick, I need to buy something back. It's a little dangly thing on a string, and it has glittery letters all over it.
Oh, the little clay one.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have it anymore. You see, I gave it to Mrs. Perry.
Mrs. Perry?
She's been having kind of a rough time lately, and I thought it might encourage her a bit.
Mrs. Perry?
The greenhouse with the rail fence.
Okay.
Jenny ran to Mrs. Perry's house, hauling that wagon behind her. Jenny recognized Mrs. Perry when she answered the door. She was a nice lady who had no gray hair because she wasn't old yet. But her husband was dead, and so she lived by herself.
Mrs. Perry, I'm Jenny Preston from up the street, and I need to buy something back. It's a little clay ornament, and it's on a string, and...
Mrs. Perry had the most peaceful smile on her face.
I know the one you're talking about. I thought it'd be a blessing to the Buxtons, and so I gave it to them. Hi.
Jenny ran to the Buxtons. They'd given it to the Dasowskis. Then the Joneses. Then the Seversons. Up and down the street. She didn't know how many times, and finally she came to John Ketchum's house.
Mr. Ketchum, I'm Jenny Preston from up the street, and I need to buy something back. I don't have any money, but here, you can have this peanut can that you can put stuff in the bottom is so shiny you can see yourself in it. And you can have this egg cart for putting jewelry buttons and small things. And you can have this one thing that I don't know what in the world it is. And you can have this back scratcher. You can even have my wagon, Mr. Ketchum. Just please, I have to have it back.
Jenny's been gone for almost 2 hours. Ruth wanted to get in the car to find her, bring her home, but then they'd be all alone, just the two of them. In that same little bare walled apartment with the peeling paint, the smelly refrigerator with no food in it, and the drippy sink and the empty cupboards. The home they may not even have next month. And Jenny would be standing there reaching desperately for hope, her eyes asking the same question that Ruth had lost the answers for. Mom, how come all is well? Now what could Ruth say? Probably the same old thing. All is well, don't worry. Keep your chin up, kid. Think positive, talk positive. Look for that silver lining. Go out and get them. Go for it, all is well.
Oh God, please don't tease me. Don't make me a liar. If you've given up on us, if you don't care about us anymore, then you need to let me know right now. Because I can't go on pretending anymore like you care.
Ruth didn't even hear Jenny come in.
Mom?
Jenny's cheeks were red from running.
Mom, I got it back.
It was a little clay Christmas ornament. Ruth took it, turned it over a few times, and the memory came flooding back.
Jenny, where did you find this?
It was in a box with other ornaments. I accidentally sold it to Mr. Patrick, but he gave it to Mrs. Perry, but she gave it to the Buckstings, and...
And Jenny had to say every name, every stop she'd made all around the neighborhood.
And then Mr. Ketchum just gave it back to me. He even let me keep my wagon. Remember, Mom?
Ruth remembered. Jenny made the ornament when she was 7. It was misshapen. The painted colors were blotchy. But the message was clear. On one side were those words, "All is well." On the other side was the reason, "For unto us a child is born." The sudden surge of hope filled Ruth's face so Jenny could see it.
All is well, huh, Mom?
All is well, Jenny.
Ruth closed her hands around that little lump of clay and held on.
Some way, somehow, we can't see it yet, but all is well.
Well, like I said in the beginning, it all depends on where you're standing and how good the view is from there. When you're the storyteller, you have a pretty good view. You know things the people in your story don't know. I know the reason all those neighbors were passing that ornament around. They were paying for it and buying it from each other to raise money for the Prestons. They were paying $20, $100, even $200 for it. It was Mr. Patrick's idea. He's collecting all the contributions, and tomorrow they'll take their gift over to the Prestons and holler, "Merry Christmas," in the middle of July. So I know Ruth and Jenny will be taken care of, and I know eventually Ruth will finish nursing school. And I know things won't be easy, but they'll make it. But you know what tickles me? Ruth knows it too. She knows all those things. No one's told her. She can't see any of it from where she is, but she knows. Now that she remembers how come all is well, she knows. She remembers, and she'll tell Jenny once again, that God is the grand storyteller of our lives. He weaves our days, then strings them like beads in the chain of history. He knows the placement of every person and event, the end from the beginning. From his lofty heights, he has the best view of all. She remembers, and she'll tell Jenny that in a stable in Bethlehem so long ago, God wrote himself into the story and became its central character. Now the weaver of the story walks with us in the midst of the story, and he'll stay with us until that story is completed his way, in his time, for his glory. And that's how come all is well. Remember? Remember?